This is Zone About Town on 104.5 The Zone. Good morning, and thanks for being with us. Did you spend your youth listening to high decibel rock and roll? Does the commercial asking, "Can you hear me now?" leave you straining to get the message? We spoke with local audiologist Patty Thigpen to find out if today's technology is ruining our hearing. Here's Barbara Dabb.
Welcome, everybody, and good morning. I'm really happy to introduce you all to my guest today. Her name is Patty Thigpen. She's a doctor of audiology and has a private practice in Murfreesboro called the Thigpen Hearing Center. And she's going to talk to us about hearing loss, really more in the younger generation than the older generation, because there's a lot of new technology out there that's kind of changed the game plan a lot for our teens and our younger kids. So, Patty, it's great to have you on. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you so much for asking me. I'm so glad to be here.
Well, you know, the first question I did want to clarify for everybody out there is really, what is an audiologist? What is it that you do? And how do you help people better manage their hearing needs?
Well, an audiologist, I get asked that from time to time, is a primary healthcare professional, and I evaluate, diagnose, treat, and manage hearing and balance disorders in children and adults.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I have a private practice in Murfreesboro where I see infants on up to older adults.
Right. And, you know, it's great that you're bringing that up, because I think a lot of people assume that hearing problems are kind of an elderly person's issue. But as we're finding out, and as you're going to help us understand, there's really some significant concerns about hearing loss among, you know, young people and teenagers. And for obvious reasons, they're, you know, always plugged in through their ears with everything, all the technology available to them. So I guess tell us a little bit about some findings that you've discovered with hearing loss and how widespread it is and who's really most affected by it these days.
Well, a recent study found that hearing loss in Americans was much more common than previously thought. Mm-hmm. Of course, hearing loss is the third most common healthcare condition in the population, only surpassed by high blood pressure and arthritis.
Wow.
Yeah, it's estimated that there's about 55 million Americans with high-frequency hearing loss and even 29 million Americans with speech frequency hearing loss in one or both ears.
Wow.
And they've done studies on older adults as well as adolescents, and both studies that have been done recently show an increase in hearing loss in this generation.
Mm-hmm. So that would be, you know, young people say, what, 25 and younger?
That's right. They did one study that showed with adolescents that it showed hearing loss is 30% higher in American teenagers now than it was 10 or 15 years ago. And that means that there's one out of every five teens who had some form of hearing loss. And this study was done in the years of 2005 to 2006, but the results were just released this year.
Mm-hmm.
So, in other words, previously it was one in seven children would have hearing loss, but now it's one in five children suffer from at least a slight hearing loss.
That's really, you know, and it's interesting because I remember when my kids were, you know, tiny, toddlers and on up, as soon as they could really respond, they had hearing exams as part of their annual physicals in the pediatrician's office. And, you know, it is part of sort of the overall health maintenance of a child. And it's really alarming that somewhere along the line, there's a drop off in their hearing. You know, they stop testing for hearing at some age. My kids are obviously beyond the age where they do those hearing tests. So somewhere in there, there's a drop-off.
That's right. It certainly raises some red flags. This degree of increase in hearing loss in our youth is very concerning. And the results of the study were really somewhat surprising, because they expected that hearing loss would have decreased with all the widespread warnings that we have now about the risks of loud music and the wider use of vaccines to prevent certain infections that can lead to hearing loss.
Wow. But, of course, we all know that young people don't think that those warnings apply to them. It's only the neurotic adults around them that are always, you know, hounding them about turning the music down, right?
That's right. They're invincible.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
When hearing loss is not readily detectable, they're not even aware of the damage.
Absolutely.
And the teens tend to listen to music louder than adults, and they're often unaware of how loud it is. And after listening for a while, you can get a temporary shift in your hearing, so they adjust the volume, turning it up more as their tolerance increased, and before too long, you've no idea how much you've turned it up. And over the time, the noise damages the delicate hair cells of the inner ear and the cochlea.
Interesting. You know, it's interesting you say that because I know sometimes I've noticed when I am watching television like late at night, I tend to keep the volume way, way, way low. And then when I get up in the morning and turn on the news, I can't hear it. It's, you know what I mean? It's like what sounded appropriate late at night when I was kind of relaxing and is no longer something I can hear when I get up in the morning and I'm moving around. And so I have to pop up the volume on the TV. So you're right. It is, you know, I think there are times of day even when our hearing adapts to the surroundings.
That's right. You know, the average person usually waits about 7 years before they even seek help to have an audiometric test to determine if there's any hearing loss present.
Wow. That's interesting. I'm speaking with Dr. Patty Thigpen. She's the director, a doctor of audiology, and has a private practice down in Murfreesboro, Thigpen Hearing Center, that treats people of all ages with hearing issues. Patty, I'm just kind of curious also, we've talked a lot about some really alarming statistics about hearing in teenagers and young adults these days. What are some signs to look for? Because I know as a parent, you know, I'm always hounding my kids to turn the music down, and especially if they have their little iPod earbuds in, you know, to keep the volume down. If I can hear it, it's way too loud. But how would I know if my child has some hearing loss or has some issues with their hearing?
Well, some of the most common complaints are asking others to repeat more often, ringing in your ears, turning the volume up, or they may even complain of some ear fullness or pressure. Now, with adults, it can be a little more subtle. They may complain that they can hear, but they're having trouble understanding words, or they start withdrawing from certain situations. They're thinking other people are mumbling instead of themselves. And there's a lot of psychology that goes into a hearing loss when you start having miscommunications with friends, coworkers, and your family.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, even for kids in school, you know, they have to pay attention so much, particularly, you know, college kids. They have to sit in maybe in a large lecture hall with a lot of distractions going on around them and really focus in. And you don't want to always be asking your friend next to you, what'd they say? What'd they say? Can I borrow those notes? And, you know, you really have to listen very, very carefully in so many situations now.
You do. And even a slight hearing loss can affect learning, like you were talking about in school, speech perception, the social skills that you have with friends and your self-image.
Yeah, it's a, yeah, and of course, as we get older, then you get to be middle-aged and you don't want to admit to any hearing issues because then you feel older. So, you know, there's a whole other psychological ball of mess that goes along with middle-aged hearing loss than there does with young people, I would imagine.
Oh, yes. I agree with you. I see that quite often. It's a whole counseling process with most people when hearing loss is identified. You may have a tendency to want to start withdrawing from going out because you can't hear well to interact. Or you may feel like others are talking about you, and you can't understand why they're laughing, so you may develop this degree of paranoia.
Yeah.
Or you may feel afraid to join in the conversation, because if you give the wrong answer or response, mm-hmm. you're afraid you'll look senile or dumb. And I find men particularly have some difficulty with identification of hearing loss, because they're used to being the head of the household,
yes.
the decision maker, and then suddenly they're having difficulty being independent to order in a restaurant because of all the background noise.
Right. Right, absolutely. I'm speaking with Dr. Patty Thigpen. She's an audiologist in practice in Murfreesboro, and we're talking about hearing loss and really some significant studies showing loss of hearing. One in five young people nowadays has some hearing problems. So what are some things we can do to protect our hearing or to encourage our kids and our young adult children to protect their hearing?
Well, I think the message here is we really need to change the way we're doing some things. We need to recognize to turn down the volume, like on an iPod or earbud or the MP3. And we want to wear ear protection at concerts, work, or home, anytime we're exposed to the loud noise. And there's all types of earplugs available now that have speech filters to allow the person who's beside you, where you can hear them, but it will react to the loud noise, as well as musician earplugs that react to eliminate or decrease some of the harmful loud noises, but allow you to hear your own instrument.
Interesting. And now, is there I maybe this is too technical, but is there like a particular frequency or volume level that we need to start being concerned about? In other words, how high does it have to be before it's damaging?
Right. Well, to be safe, the maximum volume level shouldn't exceed 85 dB. That's about the level of a hairdryer 6 inches from your ear. And there are earphones that you can attach to most audio device that keeps the sound below 85 dB. You can usually get them from an audiologist.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a matter, it's a matter of how loud, but it's also a matter of how long you listen.
Right, absolutely. Well, yeah, sure, because, you know, if you're blow drying your hair, it's a 5 or 10 minute process.
Right.
15 if you have, you know, difficult hair. But of course, when the kids sit there with the iPod in their ear, it could be hours. They study with it. They, you know, or their phone. I know the kids walk around with the Bluetooth thing in their ear while they're talking to their friends.
That's right. And from the studies that they have done that we were talking about earlier, a lot of the hearing loss that they're identifying is more high-frequency loss, and that's associated with loud noise exposure. So there's assumptions being made that the decrease in hearing is related to the noise level and the increasing use of amplified music. One of the biggest cultural changes in the last 10 or 15 years is the use of the personal stereo.
Yes.
And it's the prime suspect for the decrease in hearing. And we're able to listen to these headphones now longer because we can. You know, today's long-lasting rechargeable batteries can crank out music for 15 hours.
For hours, yeah.
And there's more storage space for music than ever before.
Sure, sure. So a lot of risk. But of course, as you've pointed out, some really wonderful new technologies that can help us protect our hearing. And of course, I'm sure that there's a lot more, if you do have hearing damage, that there's a lot of high-tech hearing aids that you know, even younger people wouldn't be afraid or ashamed to wear. So really, there's no reason to ignore your hearing because it can be, as you pointed out earlier, really a social problem, an emotional and psychological problem to not being able to hear properly. So
That's right. You can still go ahead and enjoy yourself, you know, listen to music, go to concerts, continue recreational shooting if you do that, but you just need to take the steps to enjoy it safely.
Absolutely. Well, Dr. Thigpen, it's a pleasure to talk to you about this. Is such an important issue. I think, you know, all of us can agree, you know, especially those of us with teenagers, that the loud noise is a concern for us. If people want to learn more or get in touch with you, do you have a website or an email where folks can get a hold of you?
Well, sure. You can log on to our website, and then you can contact us through the email there. The website is PT, stands for Patty Thigpen, Hearing Center, at Comcast.net.
Wonderful. Well, I really appreciate all your time and your help this morning. It's been really informative. Once again, I've been speaking with Dr. Patty Thigpen. She's a doctor of audiology with a practice down in Murfreesboro. And if you want more information or to contact Dr. Thigpen, you can go to pthearingcenter@comcast.net and shoot her an email, and she'll respond. Thank you so much for joining me today. It was really great.
It was fun for me. Thank you so much. I enjoyed being here.
Zone About Town is a public affairs presentation of 104.5 The Zone. As always, your input, comments, and topic suggestions are welcome. Go to 104.5thezone.com and tell us about the issue you'd like to hear about on Zone About Town. From 104.5 The Zone.